Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez, and now you can see this show every single day, we're proud to say. I am here to tell you that after being a journalist and a news presenter for four of the biggest networks in the United States for so many years, I know what they do, and it isn't right. I believe it's time for context and truth-telling. And in that vein, here's what we're going to talk about today. Truth bomb number one. The royal family is lying once again. This time it's about Kate Middleton's photoshopped family picture. Why? Why lie about such a thing? We're going to tell you why. Truth bomb number two. Did you know that your car is secretly recording what you do and then turning it over to insurance companies? Think about that one. Truth bomb number three. Is the U.S. really spending $7 billion to buy island nations in the Pacific? And why are we doing that? I'm going to tell you why. But the most important, perhaps interesting story of the day has to do with the Haiti crisis. The Haiti crisis produced by the U.S. State Department and coming to a live cable news broadcast near you very soon. Get ready. This is Direct Impact. All right, I gotta say it. The royal family is in a bit of a sticky wicket these days because of a lie. This one is weird and yet telling. It has to do with Kate Middleton, otherwise known as Catherine, the Princess of Wales. See, it appears that Middleton has been missing for several months, and the media then started obviously asking questions. After all, she's paid billions of dollars just to be there, but she wasn't there. The princess says that she had abdominal surgery, and that is the reason that she was no longer around, I guess, in hiding? Abdominal surgery? So the media continued to ask questions. Did she have some kind of plastic surgery maybe she didn't want us to see? Is there something really wrong with her that we need to know? Where is she? Now, some of you would ask, who cares, right? And I get it. And normally, you're right. Nobody would give a crap about this story until suddenly this photo appeared. Take a look at this. There she is. That's Kate. And those are her beautiful children. See, she's fine. There's nothing to talk about. Move along, everybody. But wait. After the royals put out that pic, people on the internet took a look a little more carefully, and they said, that photo you just saw right there, it's fake. It's a fake photo. You see, all those circles that are obvious examples of the photoshopping and the distortions and the mistakes. And look at this. See that right there? Look at that. That's her daughter's wrist. You see how the sweater sleeve is completely distorted? When readers zoomed in, they noticed that the sweater sleeve just kind of disappears. And then it just kind of reappears. See that little ring at the very end there? But only that one portion at the very end is still part of the bigger one. So obviously they messed with it, right? The image is filled with obvious Photoshop distortions, which the princess is now admitting, and she's apologizing for it. She said, oh, it's all my fault, but fine. But here's the problem with stories like this that many are asking. And I know it's just a little thing, maybe not a huge deal, but it makes us wonder. Right? And we have a right to do this because we're talking about one of the most powerful countries in the world, right? If they're willing to lie, the royals are willing to lie about something relatively as unimportant as this, then by golly, what else are they lying about?
Right here, we have kind of a line of data points right there in the grassy area behind the house.
We do.
All right, going on to slide 39, tell the jury what those calculations represent, please.
So this is going to represent the drive from Moselle to Almeda. During that drive, the Suburban reached a max speed of 74.4 miles per hour during that drive and averaged 51.94 miles per hour.
All right, so you're probably wondering what that is, right? You hear that testimony? That's testimony in a court case. What you just heard right there, or watched, is the testimony from a very famous murder trial here in the United States that was televised and became really famous millions of people watch this thing every day. This guy killed his wife and his son, just blew them away. It was horrible. And he was found guilty in part because of that testimony that you just saw right there, where prosecutors looked at the computer in his car, the car that he was driving, and they were able then to pinpoint exactly where he was at the time of the murder, how fast he was going before and after the murder, where he parked, when he got out of the car, you name it. He and his lies were busted by the computer in his car. Isn't that amazing? Until I saw that trial, I didn't even know that my car could do something like that. Not till I watched the trial. Imagine that. Now, imagine this. Your car constantly records everything about where you are, right? Your driving patterns, your habits, your speeds all the time. And guess what? The people with access to that information are doing with it, we are now learning. Talk about a truth bomb you need to know about. They're selling it to insurance companies so that when you go and you apply for insurance, you don't know this, but they do. They have been secretly gathering all of your driving dirt. And that is why your insurance sometimes is going to go up and you have no way to even contest it. Does that seem fair? I don't think so. Big Brother is watching you and he's a computer in your car. That, my friends, is the future. Now, let's take a trip back to the past. What do you say? In 76 countries around the world, we have some type of military presence or some type of engagement. In fact, here, I'm going to show it to you so you can see it for yourself. It's even more dramatic when you actually look at it on a map. Now, here's the map of the world. And what I'm going to do is, first, I want to light up the countries where we have military bases. There are 44 of them in all. Everything you see there in red, those are the countries where the United States now has military bases, and we've been adding an awful lot in the last 10 or 15 years. So that is me, in case you couldn't tell, a younger Rick Sanchez, a few years ago, doing a story about how many military bases our government has established all over the world. It's kind of crazy, really. We now have, at this point, when I last checked, could have grown more, 750 bases in 80 different countries all over the world. No country ever in the history of the planet has ever amassed such military expansion like the one that we have right now, the good old USA. Well, guess what? We're about to add three more. That's right. Let's take a look at the map. Here they are on the map. These are the three islands we're kind of buying or repurchasing the property of for $7 billion so we can have military bases on them. They are the Marshall Islands, the Federated States of Micronesia, and finally, Palau. Let me say that again because it's fun. Palau. Two takes here, at least as far as I see it. Maybe you think the same. One. If you're wondering these days why China is spending billions to build up its navy, our expansion, our military expansion, might have something to do with it. As they see it, we're putting military bases and runways near them, so they feel like they have to do the same. Here's number two. And this one almost makes me laugh inside. There is, as we know, big money in these deals, right? These military expansionist moves. They make a lot of money for a lot of military contractors out there, for the super rich. And those same people donate a ton of money to Congress, right? We know this, right? Well, think about this. Our Congress, which cannot pass a border bill, which cannot agree on who should lead them, which generally just can't get anything done in any reasonable amount of time. But looky here, this $7 billion deal to expand our military presence around the world, they got that done overnight. Speaking of the U.S. military, let's take a look at what's happening now in Haiti. Yeah, this is crazy. Look at these videos, right? Once again, I mean, we've seen them in the past. The U.S. military has been evacuating staff members at the embassy after a massive jailbreak there in Haiti. The tiny Caribbean nation once again is destabilized as so-called army gangs have now taken to the streets, as we're reading in the pages of places like the New York Times. They're creating havoc in the city of Port-au-Prince. I know Haiti. I know Port-au-Prince. I've been there. I've covered it as a correspondent for much of my life. I also know that we tend to use that country for our own political needs from time to time. Speaking of that, here is Secretary of State Antony Blinken, whose Ukraine and Gaza policies are turning into political disasters, now looking for a win in Haiti.
Given this increasingly urgent need, I'm announcing today that the United States Department of Defense is doubling its approved support for the mission from $100 million to $200 million. And that brings the total U.S. support to $300 million for this effort. I'm also announcing additional humanitarian assistance for the people of Haiti, $33 million to further support their health and food security.
Wowee, $33 million. Ukraine, $125 billion. Haiti, $33 million. But he gets to give a news conference on it. Why is Haiti getting so much attention all of a sudden? With all that is going on in the world, why would the Biden administration suddenly scream, squirrel? Right? Sorry, I couldn't help myself. But this does look and feel like a distraction, doesn't it? Come on. Somebody needs a good story out there. And every good story, by the way, needs a villain, a bad guy, right? Well, here's the bad guy. Meet Jimmy Cherizier. The Western media calls him Barbecue. I'm not making this up. They also call him the most powerful gang leader in Haiti. Really does sound made up, doesn't it? Well, in case you doubt me, here he is.
Et peut-être sa bataille pour libérer pays ça, moun ka di nous parler trop, li là pour nous faire action. Nous même nous pas gourmer avec Sancho. Nous pas gourmer avec Sancho. Nous connaît bataille n'a fait, nous connaît qui côté nous voulons arriver à bataille qui n'a fait. C'est peut-être ça, nous dit peuple là, restez tant mot d'ordre, restez tant force révolutionnaire, Genève famille alliée, c'est peut-être ça dit moun yo. Chaque là nous dit en avant et que yo gen pour yo suivre nous parce que gourmer n'a fait assez pour yo.
There he is, in patois, there he is, Mr. Barbecue himself, who is, at least according to reports appearing in Western media, a savage killer. Let's see, what else are they calling him? They say he's the king of chaos. They call him the gangster man. He's an ex-cop, but he really works for the government, secretly, they say. They say he's massacred hundreds and hundreds of people, and that he packs a pistol in his waistband and is guarded by ski-masked henchmen with high-powered rifles. Wow, like Superman or super evil villain. Now, if like me, you're hearing all this or reading all this and your BS antennas are shooting up when you hear somebody being described like he's bad, bad Leroy Brown with a razor in his shoe, you're not alone. Look at what Daniel McAdams from the Ron Paul Institute posted on Twitter that got our attention. Here, let me read you what he writes. He writes, dudes, Haitians eating other Haitians? This sounds like CIA psyop to justify a widening U.S. military operation. Biden is a fool tard who desperately needs a military win. Anything. So he's going with this barbecue BS? Come on, man. Don't let them Fauci you again. That's Daniel McAdams. And guess what? Can I show you something? That's Daniel McAdams. There he is. By golly. He's live, and he's going to explain to us what he meant in that tweet that his mother will soon be washing his mouth out with soap for. We're going to be right back. Don't go away.
My turn.
And now to the latest on Russia's presidential election.
Well, at least cheering it up then.
Mm-hmm.
Somaliens de nature est un peuple combatif, un peuple extrêmement attaché à sa terre. Colonisation est venue trouver déjà que l'Afrique en général avait déjà une civilisation.
Donc il y a eu des tentatives de s'approprier certaines parties de notre culture et notre patrimoine.
Et de l'ingérence flagrante des Français dans a amené à l'amplification du terrorisme dans tout le Sahel. Aujourd'hui, c'est devenu une gangrène partout. Qu'un pays ne s'y a pas cela.
Pierre Vie, président de la République Mali Moribo Keïta, stimule sa industrialisation au Mali. Nous, Français, dès la fiction, je te chat.
Moi, je me souviens encore quand j'étais au lycée, je demandais à mes professeurs, mais vous nous avez dit que la France nous a colonisés, mais est-ce que vous pouvez me montrer un bâtiment que la France a construit? La colonisation, partout, c'est la même chose. Toujours, c'est cette pression qui nous empêche de réfléchir, qui nous empêche de voir en nous des gens capables de se prendre en charge.
Hey, I'm Rick Sanchez. Welcome back. Not to be confused with Bad Bad Leroy Brown. We're joined now by Daniel McAdams, Executive Director of the Ron Paul Institute. It's always a pleasure to be able to talk to somebody who brings a perspective to the table that is unlike what you hear all the time everywhere else. And as we look at this Haiti story, I can just feel the drumbeat coming on. I know Anderson Cooper already has his bags packed, and he will soon be reporting live from Port-au-Prince and showing you these horrible pictures of these poor people who we now, through the Biden administration, need to save. What did I miss?
Well, you missed the cannibalism. That's the thing that gets everyone excited. And that's what I noticed yesterday. I mean, I have to apologize for my language sometimes on Twitter. That's where I've let my id go out and take a little walk, and that's what I was doing.
Right.
But, you know, I'm looking through news, and all of a sudden I see over and over references to cannibalism. And I'm thinking, this smells very, very funny, and I don't mean the barbecue. Something is going on here. There's some reason this is breaking out of the fog of the news cycle, and that's when my BS detector went way high.
Let's talk about this for a minute. So let's break it down, because the average person, there are people out there, and you know, we've got millions of people who are watching this conversation between you and I right now all over the world, and they're probably wondering, well, what exactly does he mean? What exactly would be the game plan here, and why does the United States need to suddenly go into a city or a country that's about this big and go in there with news conferences from the president and the State Department, and now we're going to send them, a whopping $33 million for humanitarian aid. What are they really up to, Dan?
Well, the U.S. has a long history, as you know much better than I, Rick, of interfering and intervening in Haiti. We occupied the country for how many, couple of decades or so. Mm-hmm. The unrest in 1994, and then you had the overthrow of Aristide in 2004. That was Hillary's baby. Hillary was in charge of that. So the U.S. has been involved in destabilizing Haiti under the guise of stabilizing Haiti for decades now. And so we had an unelected prime minister put in with the support of the United States, who now has fled, and apparently he's now in Puerto Rico, but in consultation with the U.S. government. And so that's why you have the rise of Mr. Barbecue, who we are told is running around cooking people and eating them, so therefore we have to intervene. Rick, it just strikes me as the kind of absurd propaganda that we get every time the war regime wants to interfere and intervene somewhere else.
But why would they want to interfere in a place like this, which is unfortunately, and with all due respect to my dear Haitian friends, being from Miami, I have tons of them, we grew up together. But, you know, there are really important giant countries in the world where we are actually not doing so well. We are being, pardon the phrase or the use of the word, we are being barbecued for the screw up in Gaza thus far and the unmitigated support that we're giving to Israel around the world. Ukraine is a disaster, as have been many countries that I can name before that. So why not fix those situations rather than pay all this attention and all this very upfront publicity-seeking attention in Haiti, Dan?
Well, to ask it is to answer it, Rick, because they're doing so badly everywhere else. This is my guess is this is looked at as a nice, easy operation that we can get through and put a W in Biden's column. He desperately needs a W in that column. As you say, his foreign policy has been botched. You know, when you first mentioned that $30 million in aid, I'm hoping that they don't drop it from planes because they'll probably kill more Haitians than they helped, as they did in Gaza. So they need a W in the column, and this is probably being sold to them as here's an easy win. We got Victoria out of there, Victoria Nuland, and now we're gonna claim a win.
Is there a possibility that they're going to actually make this situation worse than it is? In other words, they're going to pour gasoline on this Haitian fire just so they can be seen going in there and putting it out? That sounds like a horribly Machiavellian thing to do, but would we do that?
No, come on, Rick. We just fix things. No, of course. I mean, that's exactly what they'll do, because intervention, U.S. intervention has never helped. In fact, when I started hearing the cannibalism stories, I immediately thought of what they did to Gaddafi when they wanted to get rid of him. They spread the same kind of salacious stories. You know all about it, Rick. That time it was about Viagra-fueled troops running through the country doing what people do, I guess, who take that. And it was salacious. And I think that's the reason it makes you cringe. And all of a sudden, videos started appearing on Twitter of people eating other people. And it's supposed to make you, you know, I'm all for non-intervention, but by God, they're eating each other there. We've got to do something. That's what they want. That's the reaction they want from people like you and I, who know they can't do anything right. So I think this is a sort of a pattern that we see.
Well, we saw it with Noriega's red underwear. All of a sudden, there was every headline all over the world talking about the fact that he wore red briefs that were very tight. Why were they reporting that? Why were they releasing that kind of information? But perhaps the greatest misinformation campaign, at least in my lifetime, because I wasn't around during the sinking of the Maine, had to do with what happened when we were building up the war in Iraq, when all of a sudden we learned that in Kuwait, Iraqi soldiers were ordered by Saddam Hussein to go in there and take children out of incubators and then throw them on the floor and step on their heads. That was actually real testimony that made Americans want to go fight in the war in Iraq. It was a lie, wasn't it?
It was salacious, and that's what they wanted. And as it turns out, as you say, it was actually the daughter of the Kuwaiti ambassador to the United States who was prepped by the PR firm Hill & Knowlton to give that testimony before Congress, which was 100% manufactured. That's what they do. It's Noam Chomsky would say, manufacturing consent for foreign military action overseas. And that's exactly what we see. And that's what we're seeing here. The same pattern. I mean, I guess it just keeps working. They just keep rewriting the script.
Why do they need, you know, you and I want to create a better country here. We live here, our families are here, and we think the United States, our country, has an enormous constitutional basis, enormous potential, and yet we keep hearing that our leaders are doing these kinds of things in our name. I just can't help but shake my head and wonder what it is that we could possibly do to call them on it. And here's maybe the more important question. They obviously are doing it because they're gaining something from it. And the thing they're gaining must be money. How do we take that conveyor belt and shut it down? Is there a way, Dan?
Well, the one thing that we always try to do on our program, and we've always tried to do working with Dr. Paul on the Hill, is to convince the middle class that this is not a patriotic use of their government, of their money that goes to the government. This is hurting the middle class the most. Our massive, massive military budget is hurting the middle class. And now we just hear from the Pentagon, well, we gave all our weapons away. We need $10 billion more. We just gave you $500 billion for a so-called defense, and now you need $10 billion more. So it's a money pit. And until Americans can connect the fact that they're going to be paying 10 bucks for some bacon with the fact that they have spent trillions of dollars overseas in wars, that is the point, I think, when we're going to have some real success with a non-interventionist foreign policy.
But we won't hear that from the basic large cable networks that too many Americans watch or the newspapers they read, correct?
Well, that's correct, and that's why shows like yours and ours and all of us now who are doing alternative shows, they're not even alternative anymore because the majority of people are watching us. They're not watching Anderson Cooper color coordinating his outfit for Haiti. You know, that's not happening. They're watching us. So really the challenge is for us to do everything we can to reach more people and improve our message.
Yeah. I can't help but wonder, after reading that report, I don't know if you heard me report that suddenly there's three more islands in the Pacific where we're basically buying property so that we can put up military bases. And look, for all I know, that might be a wonderful, important strategic decision, and it might be beneficial for our military, and we need that. I don't know. But my gut says we probably don't need it. We just have to keep expanding because I've never seen us go in the other direction.
Now, Washington is like the drunk in the bar. He keeps picking fights, getting his butt kicked, and then he picks a fight with a stronger guy. So we got our butts kicked in Ukraine by Russia. So now let's take on China. That sounds like a great idea.
Daniel McAdams, I'll tell you what, it's always wonderful having a conversation with you and talking about some of these truth bombs, as we like to say, which are important for all Americans to hear. Dan, thanks so much for being with us, my friend. Before we go, I want to remind you of our mission here. It's simple, really. We try to live in boxes, or at least try to get away from that philosophy that everything lives in a box. We need to get away. Look, the truth, it doesn't live in boxes. Truths don't live anywhere. They're all the places that you can see everywhere, and that's what we try and focus on. I'm Rick Sanchez. I'll be looking for you again right here, where I hope to provide direct impact.